All right, the Audible Podcast, we're here a second time out. This is, we're going to call this Audible Podcast Season 1, Episode 2. Kim Bocamper, Joe Rose, John Congemi with us. And since our last podcast dropped last week, been a lot of stuff going on. Me and Joe were on a cruise, by the way.
I heard.
Joe and I went.
MSC Seaside.
Joe and I went. We took our sea legs and went out on MSC. Beautiful cruise, beautiful boat out there.
Oh, my gosh.
The Seaside.
Gosh.
Went to the Bahamas.
It was gorgeous.
7-day cruise. Joe and I got off after 3 days.
We went to St. Thomas and flew home so we could
That's
get back
for
the show.
That's the way to do it, though. You guys are dedicated.
We were thinking about staying, but most of the people on the cruise go, get rid of those assholes now. I'm tired of hearing them. I'm tired of seeing them.
I'm tired of seeing us in those jerseys.
Just going to say, you had to wear the jerseys?
You know what? I'm going to ask. You know, I got one night, the second night we were there, we're going to go take pictures. We've got to wear jerseys. I thought it was dress-up night. So I put a nice shirt on, a pair of slacks.
You ought to
look good,
out there.
Huh?
I slipped that jersey on for about 2 hours of taking pictures. Had. I took that shirt off. You could see my hairy ass back right through my shirt.
It was one of the biggest massive sweats
it was
I
a good
had
one.
It was ever seen. He must have lost 5 pounds. Yeah. And by the way, it's nice
but
and cool.
I gained most of it back because I
you were all
right,
the way out in the Atlantic,
I went right
too,
down to
right?
The bar. I went right down to the bar after
he did
started
do that.
To refill up a little bit.
So. Use some of those coupons.
You darn right.
That's
you darn right.
Right.
All those drink coupons come in.
But anyway, I want to thank MCS Cruise. It was
good
really,
time.
Really good people.
Wonderful people.
The staff was excellent. The ship was beautiful. The weather was awesome.
By the way, the ocean was like a lake. I thought it might be a little choppy. It was beautiful.
So that's what Joe and I have been doing. We got a lot of stuff on the program tonight. Our featured interview is going to be Mike Tannenbaum, the Executive Vice President of Football Operations. Will Joe, John, and I will discuss what's going on with the state of the Dolphins right now. Been some things happen since our last podcast. We'll get into that. And by the way, if you're looking for the podcast, there's a number of places you can catch. You can catch it on Apple Music, JoeDolphins.com.
Joe's
Joe,
high
you,
on that
Joe,
one.
You can catch it on the Miami Dolphins mobile app. You have the mobile app,
I have
right?
that, yeah. Which app?
You don't have an app. You've got no app. I looked at Joe's phone.
There's nothing on it.
I looked at Joe's phone yesterday because we were trying to get back to the airport.
I couldn't even get Uber.
To try to get him on Uber. He doesn't know how to get an
Uber.
I
don't have
phone.
That either.
And I looked
you don't
at
have
his
Uber
phone.
Either. Don't have Uber.
He got no apps on his phone. So I know he doesn't have the Miami Dolphins mobile app.
He doesn't even know how to answer it when you call him.
No, he doesn't. Anyway, if you have your voice Joe and you got
very
that mobile
quiet.
App, you can go to TuneIn Radio with episodes dropping. We drop every week Thursday or Friday morning. I think this one is dropping. If you're listening to it right now, we're dropping on this one on Thursday, right? Thursday morning drop on this one, which is different from last week we went Friday. So we're keeping you guessing. You're not going to know when it's going to drop, but it's going to drop somewhere. Sometimes it's going to drop on our ass, and it's going to hurt us. I know that. But so hey, be sure to.
I thought that happened last week.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you get notified when new episodes are available. And again, as we've said before, we want to keep this interactive. Joe, I'm surprised we got a bunch of questions from fans that sent questions in last week. So if you want our questions, you want your questions heard on the podcast, just go ahead, send them in. You can send them in via Twitter, Facebook, any way you can get to us. You can email over here. Do whatever you want to get it on, and we'll get to those questions. But a lot of stuff going on, Joe. And John, this year and this week, you know, last week was an active week in free agency. That waterfall, that tsunami of free agent signings and stuff is dried to a trickle now.
Well,
there's
think,
not much going on right
think
now.
Think about last week. Why we're doing this thing, taping this. We get a new center.
Yeah.
We get a new guard signed.
Yep.
And we lose our old center,
yep.
who's now at the San Diego Chargers, Mike Pouncey. That all happened within
what,
that
24
was
hours?
Yeah,
well,
that was
well,
quick.
With us, it happened within an hour or two.
Right.
When we're doing the podcast, it popped up. And so Mike Pouncey, a guy that I think is universally really loved in this franchise and liked on this team, he makes the move. He goes out and gets a new job with the San Diego or the L.A. Chargers. He's out in L.A. We get Daniel Kilgore from the San Francisco 49ers. Joe, who the 49ers had just signed
a month ago
to a nice contract. And so, you know, he's not a guy they were ready to dump off to kick off board. They just happened to get another player. He became available, and the guys upstairs jumped all over that.
Yeah, they were talking about him. If he didn't play center, he's going to be the backup center and move the guard.
Yep.
But they really liked him in that package. I just want to say this about Mike Pouncey because – talked about it on the radio as well as how about Mike and what he was able to get from the Chargers.
Yep.
Yeah,
I was
surprised. I didn't know how the physical was going to go with the hip problems he's had, but he got $10 million guaranteed and 15 over
he's
2 years.
He's making more money now.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm with
good
you,
for
Joe.
Him.
Good
I'm,
job
I'm,
by his agent,
yeah.
too.
I'm with Joe. I'm going, man, you know, because look, I like Mike. Mike's been nothing but great. And Joe, you've been in the same situation. Whenever you've needed Mike for a charity event or anything,
comes
always
through.
There, always first and foremost, always does the right thing. And so I have a lot of admiration for Mike Pouncey. And I'm glad he found a job out there. But I was worried that, you know, with his hip thing, all the procedures he's gone
through.
They
were going to fail him.
The questions
You're
about
right.
can you practice or not. I thought it was going to be tough for him to get a job, but the Chargers evidently did their homework, went and said, hey, he's
good
enough.
Well, they had their doctors look at him.
Yeah.
They said, hey, you made it last year. They must have a game plan for him. And listen, Mike Pouncey's healthy.
Yeah.
He's pretty damn good.
Hey,
yeah.
There's a roadmap out there for how to treat Mike Pouncey going forward.
Yeah.
The Miami Dolphins did that last year. You got 16 games out of Mike Pouncey. Now, did that hurt any synergy, not practicing week in and week out? Did that hurt a young offensive line that was going through a lot of issues? Maybe, but it sure helped one guy in the middle. You know, this is a Pro Bowl center when he's at his best. He's a nasty individual that can get out in front of stuff. So, hey, the Chargers went through their evaluation. They felt like they could sign him. They paid him a lot of money 2 years down the line. Let's see how it goes. But for what Mike gave to this organization, all you can say is thank you.
And the good thing is we got a starting center. Got
and the
a guy
Dolphins
that started
are,
a lot of
yeah,
games
you're right.
for the 49ers, come here. And then they go out and get Josh Sitton, who played for the Green Bay Packers, played for the Chicago Bears, multi-time Pro Bowler, an all-pro player, a guy that comes in and should solidify that guard on the left side next to Laremy Tunsil. And all of a sudden, offensive line, you know, it was a question, a big question mark about 2 weeks ago. All of a sudden, you're looking, hey, you bring Juwan James back. If you can get him playing the level you want, hey, it might not be a very bad might not be a bad mix of guys to start this season.
That's a solid group, man. You got some really good veterans. I like the group too. I think it's a better offensive line right now than it was a year ago when we were trying to figure out who was going to win all these different battles at guard and everything else with guys injured. Right now on paper, that offensive line with Jesse Davis potentially either a starter or a backup.
You go out and you maybe sign Sam Young again. Yep. You still got Larson around. You've got a lot of options.
And Larson
now.
Can play center and guard.
Exactly.
So it's good.
Right. Yeah. You got options.
You've increased your quality of play at the starting spot, and you've increased your depth, which we've seen over the years
on that
offensive line is of utmost importance. Some other news here in the program, too. DeMarco Murray from the Titans. The Dolphins worked him out. Not sure what the outcome of that is. And also it looks like Baker Mayfield is being reported that is going to get a private workout with the Dolphins at somewhere sometime that may happen. So obviously the Dolphins still in line looking for a quarterback. But the New York Jets may have thrown the biggest monkey wrench in the draft out there when they traded to move up to the third pick. Certainly is going to affect what the Dolphins do when it comes to 11. And, boy, I'll tell you what, if there was a team that thought they were in a pretty good position when it came to a quarterback with the Buffalo Bills, and all of a sudden now they might be sucking high and tit with these guys behind the corner,
well,
you know?
Think about the Bills moved up and we're feeling pretty good, and then the Jets jump up a couple of spots to three. The Bills know that if they're going to get into this, I still think they can jump up.
Yeah.
They're going to have to give up a lot of picks. And, by the way, they got a lot. They got two ones. Two twos and two threes, and then you can throw in future picks as well. They may have to.
Well, speaking of free agency and all the guys that are coming and going, the guy that's pulling the trigger on this besides Chris Greer is the Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Mike Tannenbaum. Had a chance to catch up with him. All right, joining us now, Mike Tannenbaum, the Executive Vice President of Football Operations. And Mike, you got nothing to do these days, huh? Hasn't been much going on for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been hectic, but it's been, I think, really good for the organization. You know, we've had a lot of strategic meetings with Steve Ross, our owner, Coach Gase, Chris Greer, our GM, and, you know, look, we went 6-10, and 6-10 wasn't good enough for anybody, and it starts with us, and, you know, we felt like it was a great opportunity. You know, that's the word we keep using. We have an opportunity to get better. With that, you have to make hard decisions, and sometimes players move on that have contributed and helped get the program going. But, you know, our charge is to do what's best for the organization. And, you know, we've made some of those decisions all with the view of what's best for us and moving forward. And we're excited about the direction we're going.
Well, let's take a few steps back, Mike, and kind of go through the process here of where we're at now and what's going to be coming up with the draft and everything. And I always look at guys like yourself, Chris Greer, the general manager. Most of the organization is in the now.
Right.
You guys are always looking into the future.
That's right.
You guys are two, three, four steps ahead of what's going on with the season. And when you start going through the free agent stuff, including your guys and guys that are out there that you may be interested in, when does that research, when does all that stuff take place so that when it comes time, when the gates open, that that you're ready to make the break out of the gates?
Yeah, I mean, it really goes back probably several years, to be candid. You know, you sign guys like Ryan Tannehill to an extension or guys like Kiko Alonso, and it's all for trying to plan proactively, literally, like, you go out a couple of years to try to keep your nucleus together, and you try to project cap numbers. And Brandon Schur, who heads up our contract negotiations, does a great job. And we try to put a big picture plan of, like, hey, who can we keep, and who, you know, may be too costly, where do we have to draft? And then, you know, you talk about free agency, Kim. You know, the first meetings were back in December. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny with scouting. Like, you talk about a guy you're really interested, sounds great, and then he signs an extension with his own team. All right, cross him off the list. You know? And so it's really a process that goes on. And like you said, you know, the coaches are in the here and the now, and we're, you know, certainly trying to do as much strategic planning as possible.
I would like to know, Mike, and I'm sure fans would like to know, how much different is the process for free agency compared to when you're getting into the draft?
Right.
Because it seems like they're both fluid, but yet, like you said, the meeting started for free agency in December. I'm sure the draft kind of goes year-round as you're evaluating different positions and different players.
Right. Yeah, John. So the 2018 draft preparation started last May when Chris took you know, most of the scouts and went to the national meetings where we get, like, the initial list for the following year. And, like, for us, we're adding players the whole year. And, look, unfortunately, we had the injury. You know, Jay Cutler was signed in August, but that's just illustrative of, like, the offseason. Sometimes, like, a tiebreaker for us in terms of, like, hey, when we're going to sign a player in free agency may be like, well, if we hit pause here, we think it's pretty deep in the draft. And, again, you know, it's never an exact science. So they are both fluid, John. I think that's a great way to put it. And we just try to take as much information as possible. And then with that said, we also try to be opportunistic. And a good example of that was A.J. Derby. So A.J. Derby was on the waiver wire back in the fall. We were able to claim him. And he's a guy that, you know, we think can really contribute this year. You know, that may make the difference between, you know, signing another player.
Where you go.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So, again, that's just illustrative of the fact that, you know, this goes on the whole offseason.
So at this point with free agency going on, certainly that's what's at the forefront right now with the draft following soon behind. Does the draft get put on the shelf for a little bit right now as far as probably you and Chris? I'm sure your college scouts guys are still doing their stuff. But from your standpoint, let's put this on the shelf. Let's get through this period of a couple weeks, and then we'll bring that back down. Yeah. And refine our focus back on that again.
Yeah, they both actually go on. So, you know, pro days are going on. We're covering those. You know, we try to watch, you know, games, you know, when we can. You know, there's a lot going on, though. Yeah. You know, a lot of moving parts this time of year. But we have the scouts coming back in, you know, in another 10 days. And the draft will be here before we know it.
Let's talk about some of the guys in free agency. There's a lot of movement around the NFL, not only with the Miami Dolphins, but when you focus in on what we're concerned about, a lot of key signings. You get Albert Wilson. You get Danny Amendola at the slot position. You get a couple of linemen in Sitton and Kilgore. Robert Quinn comes over in a trade before free agency. So there's a lot of interesting parts to this team, a lot of new faces that are going to hopefully build upon what's left in the building.
Yeah, and just we could touch on these guys. You know, we wanted to bring in guys that were accomplished. We had a number of guys that played in the Super Bowl, and Sitton and Amendola had actually won Super Bowls. That was important to us. But, you know, starting with Amendola, obviously he was a guy that we'd struggled defending for a number of years, a very talented and productive, you know, slot receiver. Obviously with Jarvis Landry moving on, that was going to be a need. And, you know, Jarvis was obviously super productive for us and played well here for a number of years. So we felt fortunate to get Danny. You know, in terms of Albert Wilson, maybe not a household name, but he's young, he's fast, he's ascending, he's versatile, he can play inside and out. It'll be a lot of fun to see how the coaches use him. And again, you know, that's a position where the way we'd like to play, like having depth of that position is really important. So Jakeem Grant's coming back, Kenny Stills is back, Devontae Parker's coming back. Like that group is one that, you know, you always feel like you can't have enough depth.
It gives you flexibility.
No question.
In terms of formations, in terms of what Adam wants to do offensively.
Right.
You could play with a tight end, and sometimes you might not.
That's
with
right.
As many guys we have that play at a high level.
That's right.
Like you talked about some of the guys that have gone. You talked about Jarvis, Ndamukong Suh, Mike Pouncey. Those are moves that I'm assuming you don't take lightly. How does that conversation, who's involved in that conversation, when you look at these guys and there's, look, like anything you do in life, whatever you do, there's certain things you do well, there's certain things you don't do well. Does this overcome this? Does that overcome that? How do you guys go through that evaluation on somebody that you know extremely well,
yep,
that's been productive for you, that quite frankly you might look at and you go, hey, I like this guy, I like the way he plays, I like the way he does this, but right now, for whatever reason, whether it's financial, whether it's something else, it's just not the right fit for where we want to go. That's got to be a pretty difficult conversation we have with those guys. Some guys pretty easy. Hey, yeah, this guy's kind of, you know, he's run his course, we'll go. But guys like that who are right, key players and going to be key players somewhere else, it's got to be a tough decision for you guys to work through.
Yeah, no question. Steve Kerr, someone I've had the privilege of getting to know pretty well, you know, he talked about it from a player and coach standpoint. He goes, you know, the great parts of these jobs you do for free. You know, when you play in an arena and everyone's cheering for you, you do those things for free. You get paid all that money. When it comes to the responsibility of, hey, a player gets traded, or like those hard conversations, that's what you get paid to do. Like, and I always thought that was like great context. And Mike Pouncey and Dominican Sue, Jarvis Landry, you know, those were guys that were productive here. A couple of those guys were drafted here, played a long time. Mike and Jarvis in particular, you know, were here for a long time, played hurt, helped us get to the playoffs 2 years ago. And we have a lot of respect for what they accomplished. With that said, we have to make decisions that's best for us. And we know sometimes they're not going to be the most popular decisions. But as you mentioned earlier, John, like sometimes you have to look at, hey, where are you going to be in 6 months? Where are you going to be in a year? And what can we get to replace the player? What resources are going to have to be allocated? And these are really, really hard decisions. And communicating those decisions are hard. And I always say to myself, like, that's okay. You know, like when you make those calls and it hurts, like, you know, we're humans. Like, we're making decisions as professionals, and we got to make the right decision. But as a human being, like, sometimes those are hard conversations to have. We always talk about, like, the Labor Day weekend, you know, when your roster gets cut down. Like, those are difficult conversations to have. Unfortunately, that's part of the business.
And you know, the fans, certainly, they're all over this thing. And you find yourself in a no-win situation. And I'll give you Dominican Sue, because I've heard this conversation over and over again. Geez, you know, Dominican Sue, great player. Paying too much money for that position, blah, 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 this and that, and this and that. And then the moment that you let him go, geez, he's our best player. Why'd you let him go? What are we doing? I mean, so it's, you know.
I think that was you and I having fandom, that conversation.
Yeah. But I mean, look, fans are fans. And they love the team, and they want to support the team and this and that. And they embrace guys that are here. But sometimes they're disgruntled. But then when they leave, oh, well, why are you getting I don't envy the position you're in sometimes, because – quite frankly, it really is a no-win situation until 6 months down the road when you find out that, hey, you know what? Those are pretty good moves now. But, you know, it's a knee-jerk kind of a situation. It's a knee-jerk world that we live in this environment.
Yeah, and one thing I would like to add, guys, to this conversation, which is, you know, we have a 90-man roster, and right now we're talking about 5, 6, yep, 7, 8 players. The greatest improvement our team will have this year is from the players that are in the building that will continue to get coached and developed. And there's a lot of unsung stories that will come out, you know, when we get to training camp and the improvement. Like, so if we were sitting here a year ago, we would say, well, Xavier Howard, boy, you know, he flashed some, but we really don't know. Well, yeah, we felt really good. Mm-hmm. And Xavier's a piece of our team that should be foundationally here for a long time. And there's a couple of guys that we feel in particular have a chance to really take the next step, and that's maybe hard to explain in March, but when we put the pads on in August, we're encouraged where the trajectory of some of these young players are going, and those are factors, because you got to fill a lot of these needs from within. That's the only way to have sustainability in our system.
And that leads me to a question that, and a title, Miami Dolphins tender 3 exclusive rights free agents. So a couple of days ago, Mike Hall, Jake Brendel, Jordan Lucas. What does that mean, Mike, exclusive rights? Right. Free agents, and how you keep those guys, how you offer them or protect from others.
Yeah. No, it's a great question. So basically, not to oversimplify things, but like three big buckets of players. So unrestricted free agency. So that's a player that's been in the league for 4 or more seasons, whose contract has expired, could go to the market. Restricted free agent is someone who has 3 accrued seasons, who their contract has expired, and we could put a tender on them depending on what round they've, you know, came in, or you could actually enhance a tender depending on how
the value. Much,
yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And then if a player's been in the league, has less than 3 accrued seasons, but his contract has expired, you could keep him basically at his minimum, but you have to tender him. And that's what we did with those 3 guys.
And in talking about building within, he's one of those guys. You re-sign Walt Akins, you get William Hayes back. So you got to keep that nucleus, because it's just not all free agency or the draft.
That's right.
You have to build your team from the roster that you have from last season.
Yeah, and again, you know, Anthony Hunt, our pro personnel director, he does a great job. And again, when you pick up a guy like A.J. Derby, it's not a household name. It's not a huge, but, you know, he's going to serve a role, and that's a role that's one less resource we would have to go pick, you know, in the draft or sign in free agency. And again, it really takes like the whole year in terms of the approach of like claiming players, signing players late, and then, you know, try to keep them, you know, for as long as you can, as long as it's, you know, makes sense.
Guys like that, you know, I would think the coaching staff and the scouts and your personnel that report to you did a really good job finding a guy like that, because he was inserted right away into the lineup last year. You know, he's on the fast track to learn the offense. He gets put in games, and he's at a position where everybody's focusing at, well, maybe we need a tight end in free agency. Maybe we need a tight end in the draft. And maybe there's a guy there later on. But when you have confidence in a guy like A.J. Derby, who's proven it elsewhere, I think he was in New England, then he was in Denver potentially, came to us. You have confidence, and maybe the fan doesn't realize he's on your roster already.
That's right. No, that exactly. You know, Jesse Davis is another guy. Jesse has a great future with us. Right. And, you know, again, you just can't go out there and say, hey, we're going to go get – spend all this money on guards. Like, you know, Jesse was a guy that, you know, we were able to sign. He was kind of under the radar, and then he was on a practice squad. We got him. He had a tryout, and he's – he has a great future with us.
And he has great flexibility,
yes,
too.
Yeah, tackle, guard, flex. And, you know, again, another maybe not a household name, but by the time we get to August, September, you know, I think Jesse Davis will be.
He'll challenge.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm assuming you go into free agency with a roadmap. And that roadmap, as soon as the bell rings, that roadmap starts changing. This guy's gone. That guy's available. This guy's that. And that's got to be a – I mean that's got to be a minute-by-minute, hour-by-hour – constant job of keeping up with, and a good example is the kid from that you got from San Francisco,
Daniel Kilgore.
You know, here's a guy that just kind of popped up because they went out and paid for another center. Here's a guy that they had just given a contract to that's available out there, and so that quick change creates opportunities or could put you in a bad situation based on your guys, you know, that someone goes out and makes a play for that. That maybe you didn't quite expect.
That's it, Kim. That is incredibly well said. You know, going back a couple of weeks before that, you know, if we sat here in January and you guys would say that Robert Quinn and Daniel Kilgore would be, you know,
available,
on our team,
yeah,
you guys are crazy. Yeah, you know,
yeah.
Especially in Kilgore's case, he signed an extension with San Francisco a month ago. So, one of the things we're always preaching is we need flexibility, flexibility, flexibility. So having that flexibility allows us to go get Quinn, you know, a young pass rusher under contract for the next couple of years. Those guys are impossible to find. And we were like, wow, this is a great opportunity for us. Guy like Kilgore, we get a text. You know, Kim, you talk about Minnemine Bennett. We get a text. It was late at night saying, hey, we just got, you know, another center, Weston Richburg. This guy is unexpectedly available. You know, what are your thoughts? So Chris and I scramble quickly, get together, look at it. You know, we're trying to talk to, you know, Josh Sitton, and it kind of all the pieces, you know, you try to put them together and make the best decisions. And then likewise, you know, guys that we have, you know, are going to take visits and sign other places. You know, Cody Parkey signs a contract with Chicago, and, you know, we thank him for last year, and, you know, now we got to move on to the, you know, the next kicker.
Mike, you talk about flexibility in terms of being able to make decisions. Like you said, in the middle of the night, somebody gives you a text and you're trying to make and evaluate and an educated decision. But what happens with flexibility when you have guys on the roster and you're going to Rashad Jones, you're going to Ryan Tannehill and say, hey guys, we need to tweak something because it's going to give us more flexibility to make our team better. How does that process work? Because I think the fan doesn't really know how that works.
Right. So that's all part of a longer term plan in terms of like how dollars are counted, either like in a base salary, or you can prorate it out, which would lower your cap number for this year and add it in future years. And so we're very careful how we do that because we have certain sort of like, we kind of put like, I would say like kind of check marks and like baselines of where we want to be in terms of dollars. So we always have flexibility. And that's something we always talk about, is making sure that we don't have too many cap charges in any one year, and we try to balance it out. So again, if you looked at our cap situation last year for this year, people would be like, oh, that could be tight. And we knew there was going to be certain opportunities, and that's why, you know, we're sitting here able to, you know, go get
deals like that.
Yeah, and go get Robert Quinn, right? Likewise, you know, for next year, we've already kind of built in, like, okay, here's what we think is going to happen. This player's contract is going to be up, and start looking at those variables. And candidly, like, even in the draft, like, hey, if we get this player, he can sit on the bench for a year, and then he has to go in and play. You know, and you see that all the time, you know, around the league in terms of, you know, draft choices. Sometimes, you know, they're not evaluated, you know, publicly because they don't play in year one. All of a sudden, the guy in front of him leaves to become a free agent. Now he, that,
his turn is up.
That's right.
Speaking of the draft, you know, when you kind of go through the free agent process, when it's all said and done, and you know, it becomes a trickle rather than a, you know, a flood of free agents out there, and you kind of start going back to the draft. Does your draft board change based on, hey, look, we filled this need. No, we got a center. We got a guard. We feel like we've got a center. We feel like we've got a guard. We feel like we found this position.
Right.
Does your draft board become a little more fluid at that point?
Yeah. So, you know, philosophically, you want to leave the grades the way they are. And Chris and I talk about that all the time. And Chris does a fantastic job. But, you know, like, we want to give them the grades that they deserve. The coaches get involved this time of year. Of course, we want to get their thoughts and views on things. But I think to your question, Kim, like, it does affect your strategy. And look, in a perfect world, you want to take the highest rated guy, and it's a position of need. But to be, you know, I always like to say, if it's close or the tiebreaker is going to be based on need, but you know, you're not going to take a third round tight end over a first round guard because you need a tight end. Like, that's just not, you know, that just doesn't make a lot of sense. But you do want to use it as a tiebreaker, and those are, you know, the conversations we'll be having, like, for the next month for sure.
Like, one of the things, the words that that has been floated around since free agency was culture. You know, change of culture, change of things, and I you know, at least when I try to kind of figure out what that is, it's funny because I was with Larry Zonka last week and talking to him about some stuff, and he said you know what makes a winning team, when you get players where winning football games is more important than how much money they make, then you've got something going for you. Is that kind of where you're looking at when you talk about a culture change? Give me those guys that just love to play football, that want to be out here, and that have the philosophy that to me, I think, is a philosophy. Look, let me just go out and play the best I can, and if I play good enough, the money's going to follow me.
Right.
That'll take care of its own self.
Right. Yeah, well, a couple thoughts. You know, first of all, like, I think there is a good foundation here. You know, we won 10 games, you know, with this coach, with this quarterback. We're really excited about that. Obviously, last year didn't go the way we did, and I'm always, like, focused on moving forward. So I'm about, let's keep bringing the guys that we're looking for. And I know I've heard other people use those terms, Kim, but I'm much more about looking forward. And let's just keep doing and I'm telling you, like, Chris and Adam are both outstanding at this. Like, the guys we've brought in, like, the guys we've drafted, there's a great young nucleus of good people. And we're just going to keep adding to it. And some people are going to leave. And they leave because, for a myriad of reasons, some we can control, some we can't, but I'm much more focused on moving forward. And sure, you know, I think in pro football, you know, there's a balance. Like, we all have families to feed. Like, this is a business. This is how people earn a living. With that said, you also want to be able to tear somebody in half, and you want to see what oozes out of them, and you hope the first thing you see is competitiveness. Because, you know, and that goes to a little bit to Zonka's point. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to make a lot of money. Like, again, this is a profession. But with that said, you also want people that love football, are tough and smart. And you're right. When the team's successful, that's going to benefit everybody.
Well, you've been around. I mean, look, quite frankly, and I've seen guys, this team, other teams over the last decade or two decades since free agency came in. You know, there's certain guys that you put some money in their pocket and they kind of shift into neutral. You know, hey, I got my money. Maybe I won't stay out extra longer to practice, or, you know, I'm not going to go work out this day. And then there's the other guys out there that you could give them. You could give them $10 billion, and they're going to work as hard and be as competitive and do everything. It's finding those guys, more of those guys, than those other guys. Seems to be the key to the game.
No question. And we spent a lot of time on that. And you know, one of the things that we talk about is, you know, especially like with these college, like with the draft, the college preparation is, you know, how they treat the guys that can't help them. So, like, our scouts are talking to the trainers and the equipment guys. Like, that's really important to us. Mm-hmm.
Mike, you've been at this a long time. Is it tough sometimes to temper your excitement about, you feel really good about what you're doing, but you still know that there's more work to do? Is that a tough thing to gauge?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of like, you have to be a little, you know, Coach Parcells used to say, like, this is a profession for the not normals, you know, and I would just say, you know, it takes a certain personality of never being satisfied, you know, so, hey, look, when you do something and you get, you know, and you're in a competitive situation and you're trying to get, you know, Josh Sitton, or you're competing with two other teams to get Robert Quinn, like, yeah, do we fist bump?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that feels good for 10 to 15 seconds.
And then you're done?
And then you're like, oh, no, what's next? You know, like, what's the next opportunity? What's the next decision? What's the next meeting? You know, the draft is a month away. You know, and there's a lot of other things going on in your building with, you know, your staff. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on. So, you know, like I said, you get 10 to 15 seconds of joy and elation, and then it's right back to work.
So basically, you basically turn into a coach at after a win during the season.
That's right.
You kind of celebrate, you kind of go around and get your thoughts out, and then you're moving on to the next one.
Yeah, and I think it's just the mindset. You know, it goes back to Coach Parcells. He talked about it a lot. It's just the mindset of saying, like, okay, what's next, and really never to be satisfied. And look, you know, there's a lot of work for us to do.
You know what? I saw Coach Parcells last weekend. I was playing golf up at MacArthur, up at Hope Sound, and he refers to me as a thief because of the company that I keep. So he recited something it took him about 20 seconds to say, and I looked at my partner and I said, I think he was talking to you, because he wasn't talking to me, because he's great at that. He's when I've played golf with him, he doesn't talk to his partner, the opposition, for at least four or five holes. And if you talk to him, he's mad at you.
Right.
He said, don't talk to them. That's your opponent. So he's great. He's awesome.
It's funny you say that. And I follow this to this day, which was, you know, I was around Coach in my formative years, and very fortunate that he gave me a chance much earlier than I ever deserved. And he used to talk to us and the staff about how one of the things that really annoyed him was the pregame routine. And to this day, it's still instilled in me. Like, I don't go over and say hello to the opponent. Right. You know, I know a lot of my peers are on the sidelines, and it was just something he taught me on earth. Like, we're there to beat them. Yeah. We're not there to fraternize. We're here to beat them.
Right.
You could talk to them after the game, but why are you talking to somebody that you're trying to beat? Yeah. And, like, to this day, that's, like, been instilled in me.
Well, that was my first thought when you signed Danny Amendola. So I hated that guy for 5 years. Yeah, couldn't stand him for 5 years. Now I love him. I love the guy.
And, in fact, that's the first thing I said to him when I met him.
We've talked about you, and we talked about Chris and players and personnel. Where do the coaches get involved in this? Now, you go out and you get a Robert Quinn. You take away an Ndamukong Suh. You got Charles Harris coming back. You got Andre Branch coming back. You got the young defensive tackles. But do you at some point, do you sit down with coach and the coaches say, hey, you know what, we somehow need to find more pass rush. We need to put more pressure on the quarterback. And so the conversation, okay, does that mean, okay, we go more defensive ends? You know, I remember watching the Giants when the Giants won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of time they'd line up with four or five defensive ends in a passing situation. I think we played against the Giants 1 year, the Dolphins. I think they put six defensive ends out on the football field at one time, and they were all coming. So that's a philosophical thing. How does that conversation go with the coaches during or while this process is going on?
Yeah, no question. Like, and Adam does a great job with the staff, get their feedback and understand, like, how they see things, and that helps formulate, you know, our ability to make the best decisions. Because, like you said, Kim, like, there's a lot of different ways to use guys, and people might say, like, oh, you just signed, you know, William Hayes, and he's a defensive end. Well, you know, maybe there's a package where he's going to be moved around, and, you know, our competitors can see that come September.
Hey, Mike, draft's coming up. After this draft comes up, and draft creates other situations, other fluidity within the draft of players are you looking for, players getting picked, players taken before you expect them to come, waiting for them to fall down, trying to decide, do I move up? All those things that certainly come into fruition. And I think in most fans' mind, it's all they see is the first round. And after that, it's, you know, let me go about my business. But it's something that goes on from the first pick in the draft to the very last pick, then into the free agency coming out of the draft, the college free agents that are out there.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, one of the things I've learned is if you're drafting at 11, there's eight guys you have to have. If you're at 20, there's 15. Yeah. You know, that's something that you could certainly bank on every year. And look, this may be a great year to trade back. You never know. Yeah. You just never know. We want to leave ourselves flexibility. We have five picks in the first four rounds. That was important to us. And we'll see how it goes. You know, could we move up three or four spots? Absolutely. Could we move back? We'll see how that sorts out. You know, there's obviously been a lot of talk about, you know all these quarterbacks this year, and I'm sure that'll be a big part of the narrative as we get closer. But, you know, for us, we at this point, you know, sitting, you know, a little over a month away, we just want to be prepared, put our roster together the best we can. I always say, hey, can we go out and go play a game before the draft? you know, can we go line up and go play with a roster that we like? And then what that does, guys, is, and I think this is important, is you want to operate in the draft from a position of strength. Because if you go in there and say, like, oh.
We need.
Oh, we just lost Juwan James. Yeah. And, like, our starting right tackles in the draft. Like, that's not a good feeling going in there because there's so much you can't control.
That has to be. I would think that's one of the main things as an organization you want to feel. You go into the draft night thinking, we're okay.
That's right.
We're okay with this scenario. We're okay with that scenario.
That's exactly right.
We have plan A, B, C, all the way down. Feeling, you know, you're okay because you did enough.
Right.
With your core players, re-signing your core guys, and being able to be flexible in free agency to maybe mask some things you don't have to depend on come April.
That's right. I totally agree with that, John. It just, you want to not be beholden to any one situation if you could avoid it.
Hey, Mike, where we sit right now, and when you take a snapshot of your football team right now, and you talk about the free agent changes that have made, prior to the draft, you got Ryan Tannehill coming back. You got Raekwon McMillan coming back. You re-signed William Hayes. You talk about A.J. Derby, what you did. And you talked when we first started talking, having this conversation, you said, you know, everyone, you know, you look at that top 5 or 10 guys on your roster, but it's the guys that are down there from, you know, from 11 to 53 that are probably going to shape what your football team's about. When you take that snapshot now of what the projected 53 might be right now after what you've done, how do you feel about where your organization and your football team's at?
Again, like I said earlier, you know, coming off of 6-10, there's a lot of work to be done. Mm-hmm. We're excited about the new additions, Kim. Like, we think they're good fits for us for the reasons we've talked about. And again, we could celebrate that for a second, and there's just more work to be done. And I think that's just our personalities, and that's what we owe, you know, to Steve Ross. That's what we owe to our fans, that, you know, we're going to keep working. And to be candid, it was really the mindset after, you know, going to the playoffs. Like, that's just the mindset we're always going to have here, you know, not to be complacent, be opportunistic when we can, and keep identifying the right types of guys for us. And that doesn't mean the guys, you know, can't fit other places, and keep working hard to look for good opportunities.
When do you get a break? When do you get a little vacation here?
Yeah.
Reason I'm asking is because John and I want to get you quick when you first get your first trip out of the golf course. We think it'd be pretty easy money.
Yeah. You know, Kim, maybe we could, you know, get out the weekend after the draft.
There you go. You talk about a one-arm paper hanger. Over the last couple of weeks with him and Chris Greer and everything they've been going through, that free agent frenzy got to be pretty testy times for those guys.
Well, you think all the pressure that's on you year round to produce a winner, you have to find guys, you have to find synergy not only in the front office, but you got to make that translate in getting the right people on the field. And there's a lot of pressure that comes with it, but that's what you sign up for. When you're getting the big bucks and you're sitting at the top of an organization, that's the opportunity for you to make a change and make a change in a positive direction. So you go out and you get guys like Danny Amendola and Albert Wilson and Sitton and Kilgore. You trade for Quinn. You try to get the best mixture of talent on your roster, and then who works well with others. You know, I know we're going to get into some other topics on the defensive side, but on offense, it looks like the moves that the Miami Dolphins made were good ones. You have to replace Jarvis Landry. You have to replace all those catches. Well, maybe it's not one guy. Maybe it's two. Maybe it's four. Maybe it's a tight end that's not on this roster yet. But you have to be able to produce and be able to make Ryan Tannehill feel comfortable. I think as a quarterback, you feel better with the offensive line that's on paper in front of you. You feel pretty good about what you have at wide receiver. You know you've got a starting running back there in Drake. So on offense, you feel pretty good.
Yep.
Defensively, the biggest question is Ryan. How is his health? Is he going to be able to go 16 games? Is he going to be able to elevate his play and make those guys around him better? Defensively, you know, the jury's still out on a lot of issues right now.
Yeah, I just happened to run into Ryan Tannehill walking into the building and talk to him. He seemed really upbeat and, how you doing, feeling really good.
And Logan and I had lunch with him the other
he's
day.
Excited. I tell you, you know what he's excited about?
Good.
He's excited about getting back on the field and starting to move around, starting to throw the football and doing those things. And
it's look, his team, fellas.
It's his team.
Yeah,
baby.
There's
look
no
over
question
his
about it.
Now.
It's his team, and he's got to run with this. But, look, especially with all the talk that's been about we need to draft a quarterback, we need to have a draft a quarterback, Joe, it's certainly got to be weighing in the back of his mind. But, you know, from my experience with Ryan, I don't think he's a guy that turns away from that. I think he meets that challenge head on.
He's a very competitive guy. He's quiet, but he's very competitive, and he's going to want to win this, and he's going to want to show everybody. I think we've seen a change in him, even going back to when he was healthy that year when the Dolphins went to playoffs before he got injured. Yep. He had a little something different to him as far as this is my team, and
this is the way we're going to do it.
You know, you started seeing him in the huddle, kind of, you know, not pointing guys out, but going over to guys, right. Hey, you need to do this. You know what I mean? And that to me is when you see a quarterback that's got the confidence to do that, you can tell, John, you've been in that position that, hey, when people get in that huddle and you say something, they listen.
Well, just think about where he is mentally. I mean, he's married. He's got a kid now. He's out.
A whole different.
He's been out for over 20 months, and he's been able to look on the sidelines and maybe take a peek at others that have played the position in his absence and say, you know what? I might not have done that there. I might not have handled that way. Or, you know what? I like what he did there. There's other ways of going about learning your craft and learning your position, especially when you haven't done it since you were 8 years old and being born and bred to be a quarterback. This is a guy that's played multiple positions as a young guy. He kind of thrusted and found himself at Texas A&M. He gets drafted very high as a member of the Miami Dolphins, and he's expected to be the savior right away, or the guy that is supposed to be that guy to take us where we're going to go. It didn't happen for him right away, and I think he's learned a lot in the process, and hopefully when he comes back this year, he's going to be healthy enough to stand in there and do all the things he did when he was there. Remember, this is a guy that is a tough SOB.
Yep.
He got his ass beat for a couple years, okay?
His durability before this last injury and toughness for the amount of hits he took was unbelievable.
And mentally, he's got to be the same way. Now, can you surround him and give him a chance to come back and make it all the stuff he's learned, all those lessons he's learned on the sidelines? Can he turn that into victories and turn that into production as a quarterback?
Hey, you guys want to knock out some of these questions by the fans?
Let's do it.
Great. You know what? I want to thank the fans that sent questions in. This is awesome, the turnout for these questions. And I'm gonna encourage you to send your questions in. We'll get to them on our next podcast. You can go through Twitter. You can go through Facebook. You can go through MiamiDolphins.com. I don't even know if there's an outlet there. You can do all those kind of things and get – I don't know. There's a lot of ways. Right, Logan? A lot of ways. Am I missing any ways to get on here? You can call Logan at 954. No.
For a good time. That's for a good time.
If you want to get Logan's number, just go to any bar in South Florida and go into the ladies' room and look on the wall. You'll find his phone number in there somewhere. So you can just get a hold of him that way. Let's go to right here, Twitter, Ed Simone. Hey, this is a pretty good question. Do you think we have too many defensive ends, and how do you envision we use all of them? Joe, it's funny because we were talking about that a little bit. When you look at all the changes and Dominican Sue leaves, and you're looking at, geez, defensive tackles, and you got all these defensive ends. Right now, you look at what we've got. You got Robert Quinn, the kid they got from the Rams. You got Andre Branch, who's coming back from surgery during the offseason. William Hayes, who I'm very happy that they re-signed William. He was one of
the guys. He's
a player. A player, and I was just hoping that they would re-sign him. They did that. Cam Wake, who they gave a little extra dollars to, put a little money in his pocket. Charles Harris. Terrence Fidet, who's still a free agent out there. And the one guy that kind of is flying under the radar as a defensive end, I thought did a lot of good things last year. They like is Cameron Malvo, the young kid that came out.
He got to play a lot.
And really got some
season.
Playing time and did pretty well. But, Joe, that is a lot of defensive ends. And you look at the tackles, and now you look at Devin Gottschall, you look at Vincent Taylor, and you look at Jordan Phillips. Those are your guys. Those are your core guys in there. Is it outweighed too much, Joe, defensive end to defensive tackle?
My only thought is this. Charles Harris was drafted in the first round last year with the thought of upside and being a big time, having a chance to be a double-digit sack guy. And, Bo, I know everybody wants depth, but if we draft this guy in the first round, line him up out there as a starter and let him play. I'm just afraid I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at it early, and I see Cam Wake and I see Quinn as starters. Yep. That's what I see. So – I just wonder, a rotation guy is going to be the backup first-round pick.
Joe, you may see that now. But, look, I saw Charles Harris get better. I saw him close a lot last year. And I think that knowing Charles Harris from what I know about him since he's been here, this guy's busting his ass right now to be the best player that he can get. And Cam Wake, hard not to give him. But look, Cam may be a guy that they say, hey, look, we want
maybe
you.
Maybe he's the situation.
Maybe you're the situation
I don't know.
Guy. Maybe you're the third down guy. And maybe it's Robert Quinn. And maybe it's Charles Harris. I don't know. But I'm going to give Charles Harris. I'm going to put Charles Harris in one of those starting spots because I expect him to go out there and bust his ass to see if he can do that. Maybe he can, maybe not. And Joe, I'm different than you. I don't care if he's a first-round draft pick. Put the best two guys out there at defensive end. And I've told, I've said this before on the show. You give, I give for a league that demands you to rush the passer and put pressure on the passer. Give me as many defensive ends as you got that can rush the passer and just put them all out there and see how and see how much pressure you can get on them. That's my thought on it.
I just don't want our first round picks are special. Bo, you're a first round pick. I think first round picks got to be a little more special than being in a rotation with everybody else. That's just me personally.
Yeah, but
I look
Joe,
at a guy. We've had too many guys come through here. Too many first round picks. They're rotational or don't play well. I want him to be a franchise kind of player. Bo, if he can do that, rotating in and out, and we can get the production, and he's a starter, and but if he's not in there on second and long and third and long, I think he will be in those packages that they can run. But I just expect that guy. I thought this was going to be a breakout year for him to move ahead.
Well, look, it may very well be. I mean, you're kind of throwing him to the end of the pile before he's even got a chance to get out there.
Who would you think right now on paper? It's just you've been around the team, you guys. Who do you think are the starting ends right now?
I would say
Quinn and Wake for me.
Okay, I would put Quinn, Branch, Wake, and Charles Harris all in the mix. Two of those guys are going to be your defensive ends. I'm not discounting the fact that Charles Harris. I'm not discounting the fact that Andre Branch may be that guy. I think that if
we gave Quinn a lot of money to not start.
To me, of the guys that I mentioned in that group before, I would say Cam Wake maybe is not the starter. I would say Cam Wake maybe becomes the situational guy, the third down guy. Yeah. That leaves Quinn, Branch, and Charles Harris to battle it out for those two spots for a start. And quite frankly, every freaking team in this league is rotating their defensive fronts to keep guys, where they're not dead on their feet.
I know that Charles Harris wasn't the guy that I thought he was going to be in his rookie year. I thought he'd get a little bit more playing time. I thought he'd be a little bit more productive. Now, the staff liked all the intangibles he did, all the stuff that he did, but I kind of put him in the bucket almost with Xavien Howard. Xavien Howard drafted in different spots, granted, pretty close, but let's draft it in different spots. But that guy came along in year two and was a different player, I think, at the end of year one and more in year two. Let's see where Charles Harris comes back. And OTA, you can't tell a whole lot, but let's see where he is in training camp. Let's see what he's been able to do. Because the one thing that we all can agree on, this guy's been working, and he's a hard worker. This guy
wants to be the guy.
If he's not going to be the starter, it's not going to be for lack of effort.
Exactly. Let's see where he's at during training camp. Let's see how this rotation comes out, and let's see where this defensive scheme comes into fruition. Are we going to be the Giants of 2018 for a lot of passing
downs?
We're
paying three defensive ends.
We might have to be.
And everybody's paying defensive ends a lot of money.
And the other guy's a first-round pick.
Right.
Let's see.
Mark Grimm comes in from Facebook. We should be trying to copy what the Pats do. Isn't everyone trying to do that? If they're not, they're idiots. It would be awesome to draft Miami wide receiver Braxton Berrios now on day three and pair him up with Wilson and Amendola in the short passing spread system. Use Drake in the same manner. Get that guy in space with his speed. Agree with that. Let Stills and Parker pull the downfield, the D-back downfield. Play to Tannehill's strength. He's a great intermediate passer, not a great vertical passer. I wouldn't go quite that far to say that about him. But getting to the point of his question, a local guy, Braxton Berrios, a guy that really didn't come into his own at UM until his senior season and really did a lot of good things for him. I wouldn't mind seeing him on the roster. I wouldn't mind seeing him a guy that a day three pickup, if he ends up on this roster, I wouldn't be disappointed with that at all.
Well, I think he's got a place in the league because of things he can do. He's a slot receiver. He's got really good hands on punt returns. A guy you can really trust. Inside, actually didn't get to finish his workout. The combine, he got injured a little bit. But, I think we're all big Braxton Berrios fans. I really like it. And, of course, everybody's got him going to New England because he's a short white guy.
Yeah, and he fits in like a glove there. Jeff Thomas on Facebook, I'll have Danny Amendola signing. Sure, we lost some big names, but they also contributed to a 6-10 season. That's the other thing you look at. You look at the guys that are leaving and go, well, why are we crying over spilled milk over a 6-10 season after that? with those guys in the lineup. I understand that, but that's just my talk anyway. Our Fins needed a shakeup. We filled most of those holes with some big-time key players, just a few more pieces of the puzzle. I like the direction we're heading in.
All right. That's fair.
Yeah.
I look at it not for production of how good those guys. We lost some good players, no matter what the record was. They were good players. That's not up for debate.
Yeah.
But if the money's an issue, which I understand on both guys, then we got to get that thing back in order so we can get more players.
Yeah.
More
I agree depth. With you, Joe. You look at the roster and you take a look. If you'd have told me Jarvis Landry, Adamagan Sue, and Mike Pouncey wouldn't be part of the 2018 season.
I'd say you're crazy.
I would have said you're crazy.
Yeah.
But that's reality now, yeah. And now the Dolphins have to move on. I think so far in free agency on paper, they've addressed a lot of the losses.
But by the way, everybody else, just to be fair, was part of the six wins too, not just
the
guys.
Oh yeah, not just the three
that
left.
Gone.
Yeah, that's
everybody
true.
Else look, got look, to be
look,
part
look
of.
The reality. Look around the league. This is the reality of the league, not just the Miami Dolphins. You know, guys from the Philadelphia Eagles that just won a Super Bowl, they're leaving.
Yeah.
You got to, you know, you look at the Rams. Look at the year the Rams had, and look at they get rid of Quinn. They get rid of
linebacker,
Ogletree,
right?
When they're defensive backs, so it doesn't it. I don't know that you're – look at New England. New England's jettisoned players. It doesn't matter what your record is. The league's going to be – from. This is what it is. This is the new league right now. I don't care if you won 10 games or lost 10 games. You're going to have a bunch of people coming and growing.
That's
coming
right.
and going.
You try to get rid of guys before they make too much money.
Yep.
And, by the way, nobody does it better in New England.
Yep.
When he thinks you're making too much money, no matter what your name is, except Brady, you're gone.
Or the age kind of creeps up there and you see, well, you know what? We don't need him anymore.
That's
we
can
get somebody in the draft.
Bill Belichick reminds me of Wayne Huizenga. Knows when to buy. More importantly, knows when to sell, right? When to get rid of him. When they don't have much left. Another Facebook, Robert Mann. As you can see, a lot of people coming in through Facebook. So, like I said, when you want to send your questions in, it looks like Facebook is a pretty good.
Yeah, it's better than Logan so far, right now.
Better than Logan, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Logan usually misspells stuff, and I can't read it properly. Robert Mann. Robert Mann with two N's. I would not be angry if we pick up a tight end in the first round. I wouldn't be. It just doesn't seem like it could happen. We've not had a pass catching tight end since Joe Rose. Oh, no, since Clay went to Buffalo.
That was Logan put that in there. But was that Joe? Joe got into the notes.
Hey, I was liking it, though. These friggin' guys wouldn't let it go. It was going to be great.
Hey, Logan, how about Joe before the show? Hey, can I use that pen for a second? I was like, what do you need a pen
this.
For?
Yeah.
He says, I like Mike Gesicki from Penn State.
Yeah.
Good guy there.
Real good
the
guy.
The kid from Wisconsin.
Yep.
South Carolina,
Hayden
South Carolina,
Hurst.
Yep. So there's a number of them out there.
They need.
Nobody's blocking, by the way,
you know,
which is okay.
Just
none of these guys don't count on
just
them to block.
No, I don't want to block. Don't give me a block. No.
Third pass catching.
Just re-sign Matthew Fasano if you
exactly.
want a blocker. You know what? But the way the first round is shaping up right now, I think the chance of the Dolphins taking a tight end in the first round are becoming more distant as we look forward. The quarterbacks are kind of, you know, stacking up in the top with the Jets moving up and all that. And so that means you got defensive players that may be falling down in the Dolphins' lap when it comes to 11. I don't know that there's a tight end out there, Joe and John, if the Dolphins stay at 11,
so. No.
that there's anybody out there that requires
OJ,
that
there's
pick.
Not an O.J. Howard
no.
out there in
no.
this draft.
At some point, there's certain positions. We got to stop just getting free agents for them, putting a Band-Aid on some of these positions, and grow some of your own through the draft.
Yeah,
we haven't done very good at guard.
No.
We had to go out and get – we don't have homegrown guards. So we got to get some other positions, though, where we hit. And tight end might be one where you find a tight end and – we know Adam Gase is going to use him. He likes to flex him out inside the 20, different stuff, get him one-on-one against safeties and linebackers. Get your own guy you like.
Another one from Facebook, Lethea Nottage. I like what Josh Sitton brings to the Miami Dolphins. We didn't talk about Josh as much as we talked early about Kilgore. We'll talk about him a little bit here. He's a solid offensive lineman, and they're picking up pieces and putting them together now. We have a solid center who's healthy, a Pro Bowl left guard. Now they need to draft a right tackle and a right guard. I don't know if that's going to happen. The offensive line is going to be nasty. I like this signing of Josh Sitton, and you had a chance to talk to him, John. I talked to him on the phone. He's an offensive lineman.
As
he's
a quarterback?
He's a big, nasty, sloppy, snot come out of your nose, offensive lineman. What was he said? Someone asked him about moving from left to guard, left to right?
Yeah.
It's like saying, you know, well, try wiping your ass with your opposite hand now and
see how
easy
like
that
it.
Is.
Yeah.
Or you can be like Jay Brophy when you have both hands in casts. See who's going to wipe your ass for you. When
that's
remember,
a problem.
Every time Jay would get up and go to the head towards the bathroom, everybody that saw it turned and head in the other direction. No one wanted to be in the men's
not gonna
room.
Not going
to
be me.
No one wanted to be in the bathroom when Josh Brophy went in
there. That was a special girlfriend. That was a special girlfriend wiping her ass.
Oh, big time.
That's special. Honey, come in here.
But
you just ring the bell.
But anyway, so Josh Sitton, and he's a colorful character, obviously, coming out with something like that. But I think Josh Sitton is one of those guys, a veteran guy, Pro Bowler. I think between he and Kilgore, they're going to bring that long hair, nasty toughness, beards. You know, they're those guys.
I didn't know if I wanted to kiss him on the forehead just to say thank you for being on the roster or buy him a beer.
Right.
You know, at the same time. Yeah. He looks like an offensive lineman.
Talks like an offensive lineman.
And what is he going to bring to the table for the guy next to him? I mean, in Tunsil, if he's on the left side. How is he going to bring him along? Because I think you've got guys that have experience. You've got guys that have made Pro Bowls. You've got guys that have played a lot of games in the National Football League. They're not old by any stretch. They're experienced. They're right in between. Yeah. And I think that's a good fit for the Miami Dolphins because they like the guys that are being coached by and Jeremiah Washburn. They just like being offensive linemen. And what do those guys do? They share ideas. Yeah. They're in that room. No one has more fun in a room than the offensive line, right? So those guys.
And he usually smells in that room because
they
can't control
but that's
themselves.
That's part of it. I think that's part of it. They don't have to get up to go to the bathroom.
No,
right?
They just go right there.
So I think that's part of it. That's what you get when you get veteran guys in a room and Juwan James on one side, Laramie Tunsil on the other. How can they bring them along, play a little bit more nastiness?
If those two guards. If it's Jesse Davis or if it's Ted Larson, I tend to think it's going to be Jesse Davis. If those two guys can make those tackles a little bit better, then you really got some. The other thing Joe does by going ahead and signing those two guys, it throws out the entire question of drafting a guard in the first round.
That's out the door now. That's done. And by the way, nobody got more talent on this offensive line than Laramie Tunsil at left tackle. Yep. He's got the footwork of a wide receiver, running back. He just got to put it together, and maybe having a veteran next to him, it will help him just get better and better.
Yep. Twitter at Arcane 1229, first rounder, get a monster linebacker. That looks like it may more and more be the reality now. Second, go to a tight end. Third, get a defensive tackle. If they get the right players, all could start year one. Then try for some depth in the rest of the draft. Tannehill will get this year to see what he is. If he's not a top 10 quarterback next year, then draft for a future quarterback. I agree with all those things.
I think that quarterback
is still going to be somewhere in the second or third round for this football team.
Yep.
Doesn't look like first round is going to be available, but who knows? But I think second or third round, you still got to walk away with a quarterback.
You got to find. I think it'd be a rookie backup quarterback. But boy, I'll tell you what, he hit it right on. I'm with him.
Those positions, absolutely,
no doubt about that. And that big stud linebacker, that looks like if that's what you want. I think right now it's probably to me 60%. Then when the Dolphins drafted 11, there's going to be a good linebacker there, and they may jump on unless it's the kid Vita. The kid from where's he? Washington.
Washington, yeah.
The Via Vita.
They ought to be able to get.
He's
a
Samoan kid, right?
Yes.
Yeah. He's
big Samoan defensive lineman.
140.
Very high in my book.
Yeah, I'm with you.
They don't get hurt. They don't break down.
Those are big bad dudes.
Throw people
bad
dudes, around.
They play a lot on the West Coast.
If you never played football on the West Coast, I don't think you know the Samoan. I mean, I played with a lot of Samoan guys over my career. Love playing with every one of them. Every one of them was a tough SOB, and every one of them, if you go into battle, you want them sitting.
Absolutely.
You want them in your foxhole.
100%. I can still remember coming out of the huddle, playing BYU when they won the national title in '83 or '4 it was, and I'm looking across and everybody looked like they were 40 years old.
Yeah.
They all went on missions. They were all Samoan. Yeah. They all had beards.
No, they're just in their mid-20s, John. That's all.
That's all. Yeah. I said,
they all had five kids already.
I grabbed Bill Frelick. I said, don't let him hit me.
All that wild hair sticking out of their helmet.
Yeah, coming out of the ear holes.
Some of those guys, you look like, what? Come on, where'd they get this guy from, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, they got him from Samoa. That's where they got him from. El Chapo Jr. How about a round of applause for El Chapo?
Oh, El Chapo.
Gets back in with us. El Chapo
Jr. He found
Jr.
us, Bo.
From
he
Twitter, he
us.
Did. With the pickups in free agency so far, which position do you think we should target now in the draft?
You were talking about tight end. You were talking about
linebacker.
You're talking about maybe defensive line in terms of tackle.
Yep.
I mean, those positions right there. I think.
Oh, Bo might want to take another defensive end. Let me check.
Well, let me go back and check the tape. I don't think. Bo, that's a shot right there.
The only way I'm going to say the Dolphins should take a defensive end in the draft is if they draft me again. Let me sign one of those goddamn contracts that these guys are signing right now.
You won't cost them as much.
Can draft me in the seventh. I'll take seventh round money right now.
Let me hang out. Seventh round
money, maybe more money than I made my entire career.
Oh, they're all getting paid now. You're not kidding.
No, but I like those positions. I really do. I mean, you got linebacker, you got tight end. I think those are primary defensive tackle. Yeah. And I think the Dolphins may end up getting a running back somewhere.
Yeah, running back. I'll tell you the other thing.
In terms of being able, I mean, there's a lot of running backs in this draft that are going to get fourth, fifth, and sixth round that are pretty damn good. Pass catchers.
The other thing that seems to keep floating around, too, is maybe another cornerback out there. If there's some guy down the road a little bit. But I'm pretty – look, I look at our secondary, especially with Tony Lippett coming back. They re-signed Walt Akins. You know, you got your two cornerbacks. You got Tank and you got Xavien, who really – Xavien certainly came into his own. If Tank can have that kind of improvement that Xavien had from year one, pretty good. And then with Rashad and TJ back there, well, you feel pretty good about that starting group.
The other side of X is and Bobby, let's really not forget Bobby McCain, too. Bobby inside is. Yeah. Bobby played some outside with injury. He's good.
But he made a big step forward last year, I think.
And as
he gives
a slot corner,
and he
really
gives you
good.
So much versatility if somebody goes down.
All right, let's go. Chris Williams from Facebook. To me, Albert Wilson is a faster Landry. He was third in the league in broken tackles with a lot less catches than the top two guys. Number two was Landry. I, to be honest with you, if I was to tell you I watched all of Albert Wilson's game, I'd be lying to you. I know he's a fast kid. I know he's a tough kid. He's a smart kid. I had a chance to talk to him and really liked the conversation I had with Albert. But, look, he's going to have to go a long way to be close to Jarvis. Let's not kid each other.
Yeah. By the way, for the inside, for the slot thing, I get that everybody wants extra speed. And, you know, if we're going to break down Jarvis Landry, yeah, I would have liked to see Jarvis Landry run 4.4s instead of 4.7s. But that guy, no matter what anybody wants to say, he's a really good slot receiver. Yep. Move on, but you don't have to bring up Jarvis Landry.
Right.
No. You can get guys, you can spread out. I get that we're going to – those 160 targets that we're going to have are going to get spread out with everybody, and I'm all for that, man. I think that should happen. I think it's good for morale. I think it's just good for business.
Look at New England. Look at New England they started. Who did they start with? Danny Woodhead? Wes Welker was the first of the ilk. Then it was Danny Woodhead. Then it was Edelman. And then it was Amendola. If anybody's gone through good slot receivers and let them move on and then shown that you can find someone else to do it, it certainly has been the New England. And maybe that constant of that guy, Tom Brady, maybe that has something to do with it.
I think that has a lot to do with it. I think that's paramount.
Too many receivers play in New England that haven't done better in their careers right. after playing with Brady.
Yeah. I think with Tom Brady, they won Super Bowls with a bunch of receivers. As you said,
who were those guys?
Right.
Yeah. It didn't matter. James Cheatham on Facebook. As a Dolphin fan living in Missouri, Chiefs country, I've seen Albert Wilson play. He's flown under the radar, but he's actually a pretty good route runner. And gets separation. I usually fear the worst with Dolphin acquisitions, but I'm holding out hope that he's going to surprise some people. When I had a chance to talk to him, and John, you had a chance to talk to him, really comes across as a good guy. He's been through a lot in his life that he's battled through, and I think he carries that with him. And he's a guy that he's one of those guys. I just want to go out there and show people what I can do. And he thinks his time is right now, and hopefully it is.
Well, he's going to have a chance. I mean, he signed a 3-year deal. I think it's 2 years of exposure for the Dolphins when you take a look at the numbers and where he's at. He's going to have an opportunity to make a home in South Florida. He's a South Florida native, Port St. Lucie High School, so a guy that's a tough guy. And when you watch him on film, he does make people miss. When he gets his opportunities, he's got that jump step in the middle of traffic that he's able to elude tackles and move the chains. So you hope that carries over with this offense and where Adam Gase wants to take the targets that Joe talked about and spread those targets out. You're hoping that he gets his share.
I look at the money he's playing.
Oh, absolutely. Take a look at this deal.
I can tell you who the first four receivers are unless they get injured.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty clear. The two here last year and two new guys.
Yeah,
the amount of money they got. I mean, the guy that's going to have to come in and play like Superman from the first
Carew.
Practice out here is Carew.
So let me Carew. Ask you this. Of those, and I agree with you 100%. That's the pecking order in that. Where do you throw Jakeem in on that?
Ahead of Carew.
Yeah.
He's the fifth guy that can do. And he's got that extra gear, and he actually finished strong. My God, I called it the speed package. I want more of him. He may get more playing time.
And he's on the outside.
Right.
Everybody forgets.
He's an outside guy.
Let him make somebody miss and threaten.
And let me ask, let's not forget, you still got Jakeem as a punt returner. You got Danny Amendola. You got Wilson. You know, you've increased your special teams. You've increased your skill on special teams with those guys when it comes to kick returning.
Yeah, well, listen, I see Amendola on the shorter high punts.
Yep. Yep.
Where they're inside the 10 and super high, he's going to get out there.
Yep.
He's going to catch them.
when you got open field, long kicks.
Jakeem.
Jakeem will be back out there.
No doubt. Twitter. There's a number of people have got in with this question. Who's been your guy's favorite signing so far this year?
Sitton.
Oh, you like Sitton? You like that offensive guard in there?
I think it's
mean and nasty.
That was huge.
I like that. John?
Yeah, I have to go offensive line, too. I'm saying Kilgore as well. I mean, if you're going to get a guy that's that good and healthy at his age and be able to come in and replace a guy that you were crossing your fingers with, you know, every day at practice, that he's going to play and he's going to, you know, be there. Because if he goes down right now, if Pouncey a week ago went down, the Dolphins didn't have really an answer.
Yep.
You know, they got some trying guys in there, but they don't have a guy that's proven. Yep. Now you got a guy that's proven.
They're 1A and 1B for me, both those guys, Sitton and Kilgore, both those guys, because those two guys come in at the same time and it completely revamps your offensive line. And John, you mentioned this when you talked about Sitton and Kilgore's the same. They bring a real tough. They're not the guy that's puffing out his chest walking across the street. They might kind of walk slump shoulder a little bit, but if you push their button the wrong way, you're going to get your ass kicked.
Let me tell you a quick story. So I look at Daniel Kilgore's, you know, bio, and I'm looking on Wikipedia and trying to find out a little bit about him. And he's from a little town in Tennessee. So I'm looking on the map, and it's real close to Tri-Cities Airport. This is a next to a golf course called the Old Farm that I'm a member at. So I'm going to talk to Daniel and interview him for the one-on-one. I said, hey, I saw you're, you know, from a little town. It's right next to Tri-Cities Airport. He goes, can't miss my house if you're flying in there. It's got like a copper roof. You'll be able to see it all the time. I said, well, I'm a member at this place called the Old Farm in Bristol, Virginia. Actually, Dan Marino's a member there too. He goes, I know it well. He said, next time when you guys go up there, don't call for the shuttle. Call me. I'll come pick you up.
Right.
That way I'll get to play the course with you. I said, I like you already.
Wow.
I like the way you think. But, you know, he's one of those genuine guys that he said, you know what, forget that. I'll come pick you guys up.
Yeah, and they're both excited about being here, man. They just seem like they want to be part of this thing. And
well, you look at Sitton. He's a Florida guy. His
Jacksonville,
his
right?
wife's a big Dolphin fan.
Right.
He's thrilled about coming down
here. Absolutely.
You know, and some of these guys you would think like Kilgore would be a guy to me that you would think, man, I just signed with these guys, the 49ers. You'd think there would be a little animosity there. He's just excited about being here and getting an opportunity to come and really change his franchise around.
He's coming in starting center. Yeah, it's his.
Hey, you know what? There's been a lot of talk about leadership with guys coming in and trying to bring guys in. And I think you look at all these guys, Amendola, Quinn, Sitton, Kilgore. I think they all bring that leadership to. How important do you think that is? Or is that just a catchphrase being thrown around this year?
I think it's important. But, Bo, we play with guys that aren't great team guys, that don't show up all the time, but they play their ass off on Sunday.
Yep.
And without going into all the old names on our 45-man roster, and you got to have those guys. I think this culture thing that's thrown out, that's leaked out of Davey is important, but, Bo, you still got to have guys that make plays, game changers on Sunday and Monday night and Thursday night, and we got to have those guys because that culture that you talked about. That culture is great. Your fans will never get to see it.
Yeah, it's one spoke on the wheel for me. I mean, you need it. How important it is, it depends on how good you are. I think it comes down to that.
Yeah, I think to me, you got to have we guys, not me guys. And I don't care about, you know, leadership to me is to me tends to be an overblown thing. But you just got to have guys that want to play and win football games. Well, probably one of the great leaders that we had the opportunity to play with, Joe, barely said a word, Dwight Stevenson.
Dwight.
But when Dwight said something, everybody listened to what he said. Everybody. And he was that guy that led by example, by going out, practiced hard, worked hard. No one worked harder than him. No one practiced harder than him. And no one played better than him. And that comes across in another way. So you don't have to be a verbal guy to be a leader. But you got if you're not, you've got to be
well respected.
Well respected by everybody.
He does it. And he's out there doing stuff. You got a big balls to not do the same thing. But, you know. I started to say their names. I don't want to throw guys under the bus, but we had guys who were late.
That wouldn't be like guys. That wouldn't be like you.
We had guys that, like Don Shula, would go, if I could,
I'd cut you right now.
And a player told him back, I know, but you don't have anybody better right now. And you won't for a while, so you won't be cutting me.
Right.
Well, I'm going to leave you with my only Don Shula cutting a guy on the spot moment We were at training camp at St. Thomas University.
Beautiful place.
Beautiful facility, potholes in the parking lot. Stayed in a dorm on one side, had our locker room on the other side. And just to the west of that was our practice field. And all surrounding the practice field were a bunch of trees. It was like a little mini forest out there. And we had one kid, he was a rookie, overslept for training camp. And you could see the parking lot from the practice field. All of a sudden, you see this guy bobbing and weaving between the cars, right? And everyone's saying, hey, what's that over there? You know, now, next you know, everybody's looking. So the guy's late, obviously, bobbing and weaving through the cars, gets into the locker room, puts his shit on, puts his helmet and pads on, comes running back, dodging and weaving through the cars, goes through the dorm, goes, remember how you go through that little walkway? Comes through the back, goes through the forest, comes out right behind practice, climbs over the fence, gets on the field, and kind of snuggles up behind everybody as you're standing there in the group. You know, all the offensive guys, and, you know, they've got their backs to the fence. He kind of crawls and gets in the fence there, and, you know, for a little bit, and you see him, and all of a sudden he's starting to get, ooh, man, I made that, and all of a sudden Shula goes, Jones, where the hell you been? And he goes, well, Coach, I'm right here. He goes, oh, don't give me that crap. I saw you running across the parking lot. He says, get out of here. He goes, we don't need guys like you. You're cut. Get out of here. So the guy turns around, starts walking off the field. She goes, no. You go out the same way you came.
I
had to hop over the fence again, go back through the trees, go back through the thing. The only thing he didn't do, he didn't serpentine through the parking lot this time. He just walked straight in with his head out.
That ended his career
by having to climb over the fence to go home. Time for us to climb over the fence and go home right now. That's going to do it for the show today. Guys, I want to thank you for coming in. Always a good time, man.
Thank you. Good stuff, you guys. Thank you.
Again, let me remind you, go ahead and get your questions in. We're happy to get that. Thanks for all the guys that sent in questions. Guys and gals that sent in questions today. You can do it next week. And remember, you can always find the podcast. Easy to get to. Joe, how do you get it?
The app.
Apple Music. You get it through the?
The app.
You can go and get it on Dolphins.com. You can get it at?
The app.
You can go to TuneIn Radio with episodes dropping every week, either Thursday or Friday, or you can get
on the app.
On the app, that's right. The Miami Dolphins mobile app.
The only place you can't get it is on
Joe's phone. That's
right. Well, I'm getting that all said because I can see you guys are going to call me
Joe's
out every week.
That's going to do it. We'll see you next time.